question. Everyone should think of a question that they want to ask, what they want to know, and I'll answer the question. That's easier. Okay?
Which episode would you be if you were with that Woody Allen film? Like everything you always want to know about places and where it's right
now. Oh, so yeah, you got the Woody Allen reference.
But is it the title of this workshop?
I don't know, I was making a bad joke.
Yeah.
You know, that's a question you can ask.
Thank you. building in the band? So like, what was your response?
Okay, good question.
Thank you.
This was a song called Fell by the Way, which is jazz band.
You played in your own way, definitely.
Yes, definitely in my own way. I started out in the way, in the traditional way of jazz. The traditional way of jazz is you play the harmony and the melody, string, tie, and then you continue the harmony and you improvise the melody. So, of course, to this song. So I played, I learned on classical guitar. I began with classical guitar. So in terms of technique, a lot of times I play the melody with but then at a certain point, so I played one or two choruses like this. Then at a certain point, I stopped playing, I broke with playing the harmony in time. And what I did is I found a motif from inside the song. And at that point, it became more free improvisation. But everybody had a different way of free improvisation. But what I was doing was kind of playing with, I found a motif, and I played with it until it turned into something else. And then at the end, I went back and played a little bit of the song. So.
For me, I mean, like, this is real great. This is what I prefer also, like, when I'm playing. So if you're talking about real free or freedom or whatever you feel like, that's the, I think, point. But if you play this, it has much, you know, some of even the younger guys, they would call it, you know, jazz or jazz, right?
Yeah, they might be right.
That kind of thing, they say, okay, you'll use this for, like, what are you playing, not a hamstring chamber, there are a lot of things, you know, about jazz. Misunderstanding, or I don't know,
I'm not concerned with myself about whether I'm called jazz or not.
Yeah.
Because it depends on how you define jazz. Well, you see, I've had other people fight about these things, but in the sense of Pat Martino or Bill Paz or, people who are more
traditional. How far will they come to that jazz guitar? I mean, like, even Pat Martino is not jazz.
Yeah, but there are other jazz musicians who have been influenced. I've been mostly influenced by people from free jazz, in terms of jazz, and also from people outside of jazz, like Derek Bay. But it needs to be said that Eric Bailey studied jazz for many years. He was a jazz guitarist, a real one, before he invented free improvisation. So I think it's important, if you go to the conference in the next few days, you'll hear a lot of musicians playing like very strong free improvisation. But I think it's important to learn basic musicality, to play in time, play
to listen.
Yes, to listen.
To
know how know the instrument that you play. Well, yeah, you forget it all in the moment of the performance, but, I'll give you an example. I'm influenced by musicians from free jazz movement, like, for example, Albert Eiler.
From which area? Which time? Which year?
Beginning of the 50s, but mostly the 60s and late and early 70s. So Albert Island is very important for me, and Ornette Coleman, for example. And one thing that a lot of these musicians had in common is they started off as blues musicians. So from the people who are most associated with Alex Lang, a lot of them came from rhythm and blues and very, they learned how to make a solo work in our rhythm and blues before they became free musicians. In fact, I think they became free musicians because to recreate the strong feeling when you were in a Liberian R&B concert, not a concert at Tiffany Pit, but in a small bar in Newark, New Jersey, when my good night, very powerful experience. So I think a lot of these musicians in the free jazz movement wanted to make a powerful experience in the concert setting. The same one they remember from playing, you know.
Like a pickup man.
Yeah,
because he never worked the band.
He didn't care.
there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Only use it as pickup bags.
Yeah.
But, you know, you would just say to the club owners, get me a pickup bag.
Yeah. Everybody knows my songs anyway.
Yeah, so every guitar who calls themselves a rock guitar should know the song, in fact, and should know in detail how he plays. I played behind him a bunch of times, and I could see from he did something that a lot of performers. Well, a few great performances, which is he looked at the audience, and I don't know exactly how he did it, but he was able to use this nervous energy in his solo. He had a feeling of control, a feeling of great power. So, for example, you could see when he was there. Instead of being frightened of doing the wrong thing, he was controlling the audience. When he would play a note, you could see a wave going through the audience every move. And I think this is one way of performing is to do it as a discussion with the audience. It comes from a blues and an African tradition. It's not, look, I'm up here like a circus animal doing a difficult trick.
Yeah.
We're talking. So in the blues goes. I like to play in front of the audience. makes me nervous in the same way, but after years of doing it, I'm able to use that nervousness,
the
channel, you know, instead of...
Like performance anxiety, you know, like Coltrane, I heard suffered a lot from that. And also me, Glenn Gould, stopped performing in front of an audience, like just keeping to recording, you know.
And start to get sickness sometimes.
But in Coltrane, you can see that you channel the anxiety.
Yeah.
You channel fear into something else. If you're saying...
And also the obsessive, like, practice routine that he has.
It's an
awful
It's not a question I can answer, but each person finds their answer, and that's their performance. I think it's something, there's a very big difference, though, between the answers, cultural answers of African-based musicians perform and European-based. And I don't know where exactly Middle Eastern forms fit into it. But for example, with John Thorne, I noticed when I was soloing in his band that if I stopped playing for a minute in the middle of a solo, he'd yell, "Play!" He doesn't like there to be space in his music. And I said, I spoke to him about it, and I said, I like to put a lot of space in the soul, because when I stop,
everybody's curious.
Then I feel people's energy coming in. Whereas if I'm always putting out, then I'm, you know,
chasing
And he said, no, he doesn't want, he wants to put out and not draw in. So he's more in the European concert tradition. And that's the way it is. Other questions?
It's a personal question. How did you feel that you are actually feeling acting better in free improvisation?
What was the question? How do I feel that I'm acting better? In other words,
I mean, you feel better when you play free improvisation. I hope you can see that you feel better when you play free improvisation compared to
traditional
gathering. I'm mostly curious about the transition. How did it happen?
How did it happen? Okay, also, it's kind of personal history question. I started out when I was, young, and I decided I wanted to be a guitarist. I didn't really care so much what I played. I mean, I have music I like. I grew up with rock and roll and rhythm and blues. I lived near Newark, New Jersey. I lived in a suburb of Newark. And on the radio, Newark at the time was like 80 or 90% black city. So on the radio from Newark was, at the time, I'm 56. Years old. So at the time I was listening was the 60s, and there was a lot of rock and roll, and but also a lot of soul music. At that time, the same radio station played soul music and rock and roll. Now it's more separate, but and also certain kinds of soul jazz was popular, like Wes Montgomery, Grant Green, Jimmy Smith, who was on the radio at night, this kind of music, and we thought it was cool, you know. But I started out, my first band was a rock band, playing door to door, but also playing rhythm and blues song. You'll see Pickett, Booker T, and the MG. Pick the saxophone kind of rhythm and blues.
What were you playing on? Like instrument, like
my first guitar was some really cheap guitar, but then I got a melody maker.
Ah, Gibson, yeah.
Yeah, Gibson melody maker. I mean, we were terrible, but somewhere I decided I was going to be a professional musician. And at that point, I started listening more to jazz because, but not for good reason. I started listening to jazz because everyone who wants to be a professional musician quickly figures out that the jazz player is probably the most skilled musician on the earth. Or at least that was what was I figured out in Newark, New Jersey in 1970.
Good,
thank you. No, in other words, you listen to
the good music, but we must have it.
Right, but okay. But the jazz musician seems to me like next to anything.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, like musician, technical virtuoso. So then it became, you know, so I said, wow. I want to learn to play like that.
Cool.
But I didn't really, it's not like I felt, oh, that feeling of swing is the feel that moves me. Or those songs are the songs that move me. In fact, it was kind of like the opposite. Because swing was the music of my parents. My parents were dancing, you know, to big band music. And the songs that jazz musicians played, the standard, were the popular music for my parents. They liked Frank Sinatra, you know, and all this. And now I like Frank Sinatra in a certain way.
But I'm glad you like it, because your parents liked it, and
my parents... Yeah,
you know what I mean? I was a kid.
They
liked it.
Yes.
No, but then you have nostalgia after a certain age.
Yes.
You miss your childhood.
But at the time I was starting to do this, anyway, I was trying to learn jazz, and I was learning this as an exercise. You know, okay, this is my job. I'm going to have a job being a musician. I have to do very well at my job. So it was work. And to learn these things. And so I was living at the time in Maine, in the north, in the country. I had moved up away from New Jersey, gone to be a hippie up there in the country, which was bad because there were not so many good musicians.
Bad for your job.
But actually, it was very good because in that time, anybody who played guitar could get a job playing in a bar. So I was playing all the time, even though I really sucked. And I mean, all the time, like four sets a night, five, six, sometimes seven nights a week.
There must have been some good moments.
Well, there were some good moments in that time. But, you know, it was good because I could work.
Yeah.
So then I came down, and we were rock bands. Then I came back down to New York. I'm still practicing. practicing my trying to play jazz. And in New York, I discovered that the real world of jazz playing was different than I thought. Because in Maine, we all played in top 40 bands, you know, rock bands, but for people to dance. It was kind of boring. And we looked at the jazz musicians and, wow, they live in the world of freedom. And when I came to New York in 1978, it was the opposite. Because at the time, CBGB was beginning. And people in rock were doing incredible things. Not only CBGB, but no way of music. So Arlo Lindsay was playing atonal, Fred Frith was playing completely free. But in the world of jazz, if you want to get a job, it would still the same repertoire of the last 30 or 40 years. The frozen repertoire, you have to play the same tunes, you have to play them in the same way, very strict. There were only 3 or 4 band leaders who would hire young musicians. So it was very, the world of jazz seemed at that time to me very rigid, and there were a lot more interesting things happening at CBGB's.
What is CBGB?
It was the home, the first club of punk rock in New York. Now it was closed a few years ago. At the time it was where Richard Helms, Boy Roy, young Patti Smith, television, early, and also No Way fans were starting early punk, early New York style punk scene. Ramones also. Ramones, but also more experimental kinds of music.
Johnny Thunder. Johnny Thunder, I've
heard. Yeah, Johnny Thunder, exactly. New York style. And, oh, so I was in New York, this was the music, and I was trying to make money, because I needed money to live, and so I was playing weddings. Yeah.
Weddings, huh?
Yeah, because I'll bet you hear it's the thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about all this stuff, but how many people here play a wedding?
Yeah, sure.
Am I the only one? Right?
Okay.
Okay. Now, let's get real. Okay? So this is about everyone comes to these things and asks questions about, is that a raised 11th chord to play this? But when people really also...
How do you make a living?
How can you live? How can we live?
Yeah.
Okay?
What's
so,
the
I was living by playing weddings. And on the wedding were a lot of bitter old jazz musicians who were playing really well and had been playing weddings, but who knew everything about jazz and were playing weddings. Yes, to survive. In their minds, they were jazz. I should say, in our minds, we were jazz musicians. But the songs we played on weddings were also jazz, the same songs as jazz repertoire. You know, but you know, all the standards we played, and you know, like, and it was more of the music of my parents' generation. And so I was playing it, but I also hated it because it was terrible. You know, like she's playing these bands again and again and again the same tunes.
Not only the same tunes, but the way of playing.
The way of playing, that's right. It's either she's swung, she solos throughout, or she really rock too hard. So you could play rock too, but if you rock too hard, it is like someone would say, now it turns out, you know, right? So then, at the same time, I started to play in the lounges. I started a band called the Lounges. It was a no-wave band, John Lurie. And we started playing jazz. We were playing jazz. Rhythm section was playing jazz. But in a different way. Because there were other musicians who were playing jazz with me, but who hated jazz. So we would play jazz, and instead of playing chords directly, I was supposed to come atonal. And not just atonal. Two different concepts. One is atonal, and the other is noise. Not the same thing. Yes. I was supposed to play, instead of playing, I was supposed to play. I was supposed to play. I was supposed to play. jazz, but also destroy it at the same time. And this was perfect for me, you know. Every night I get killed. And I would probably still be a musician, but I'd probably also be dead. No, but you know something? I tell you, weddings, it's interesting.
Why they have
You know, but there's no reason. I always wondered, you know, all of us play weddings, you know, we've got to play, okay, we're playing weddings, you know. But all of us said, I wish I was playing a CBG instead. Getting paid, you know, $10 to play a CBG.
Yeah.
We were all envying the people who were making half what we were making, but, you know. And I always wonder why that is. I mean, okay, I think it's a separate question why I get married, but some people are not married. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. It doesn't seem to be, by itself, anymore.
You do bar mitzvah, Mr. Masala? Bar mitzvah? Bar mitzvah? Do you do that?
I don't think so.
You do one day.
Rhetoric aside, that John would not be very interested in. No. Don't believe everything you
say.
How did you come together with John John?
I met him through other friends. I think I met him on a plane to Tokyo. He was friends with John Lurie. Of course, they knew each other when I was in the band Roundtable. And he started to call me to play on some records, on a TV commercial, I think. No, on a soundtrack for Japanese cartoons. So that's how I met him. That was in the late 80s, after I was already doing a lot of things.
Well, you work with the lizard featured in many of the Jarmusch pictures?
Yeah. John Lurie scored a number of Jarmusch films, and I play on some of the scores. The one I mostly played guitar on was that one, Mystery Train.
Mystery Train.
Yeah, that was very included. A movie that was Memphis,
yeah.
And again, very influenced by the Stax Waltz soul music. So does anybody else have any questions? There should be some plans. Do I have time to sleep? Not today. Actually, I arrived from New York today. Tonight I hope to sleep. On the inside and individual. And a lot of what happens in free improvisation is between individuals and between the group and the soloist, and also between the environment and the soloist, or between the environment and the musician. So something that I'm aware of when I play, for example, is right now it's in air conditioning. This was one of the insights of John Cage. And John Cage's book, Silence, is, you know, it's not the only way to think about music, but it was an important book for all of us. So I'm influenced not only by an interior imagination of something or a dream, but I'm influenced by accident. So if I want to, and also an environment.
Thank you.
playing these notes. I'm playing them upside down. I'm modulating. I'm adding notes. But taking so dun 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 dun, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm keeping the rhythm but changing notes. All groups of four notes. In classical music, in 12-tone music, they would call it a tone row, and they have very formal process. They play it backwards. They play it forward. They play it upside down. They play it backwards and upside down. In improvised music, you don't really have the time, or I don't have the mental capacity, to literally work out 12-tone systems. I can't literally go. So instead of to play upside down, instead of go.
Thank you.
like that is happening.
Thank you.
So what you find when you completely, you know, everyone sees your eyes in the moment, in the moment, in the moment, when you play completely freely, what comes out is what went in. But sometimes when it comes out, it can be what went in very long ago. And what has become unconscious can be very deep memories and very deep concerns. And they come out differently than they went in.
Of all the parts of which reflects who you really are?
Oh. That's a, that's a difficult question because I don't know how much integrity I have. Literally. There seems to be more than one of them. But to answer it, I don't, I mean, genre is always a shortcut. Genre is always a cheap trick. So, ideally, you know, if I was going to really do what I believe, I wouldn't be playing in any type of music. But every single lyric, every idea would generate its own language. In other words, you wouldn't say, oh, I'm playing a jazz tune, In other words, I let the language, that's the opening of summertime, but I let the that motif and the lyric of summertime create a language. You know, I don't know, you have to live with it, think about it, play it again and again. Sooner or later, it suggests its own language. But I think what I do more, not as a type of music, but as a way of reading music. Reading, yes. I don't see what I do really as a type of playing, but a way of reading. When I hear a piece of music, and who I really am is that way of reading. So for example, I don't think when I'm playing like this, that's the real me. But when I'm playing like this, that's not the real me.
When you play in soft, don't you feel like it's beautiful? Don't you feel like it shouldn't be this way? You feel it?
No, but my last record that I recorded is very tonal. Hmm. It's a bunch of stuff that I wrote for film. And it's very tonal, and a lot of it is very soft, and a lot of it is very melodic. So all I feel is when I go on a record date, or when I play a piece of music, because I want it to make sense in a way that I like. And if that means playing it slowly or beautifully or lyrically, then I play slowly and beautifully and lyrically. Why would anybody ever play another way is a question. All I know is that at a certain point in the 70s, for example, when I was in high school, I listened to Joni Mitchell. and it would flow, you know, let's say the album Blue, and it was slow and beautiful and lyrical and sincere, and she was expressing her true self, and I loved that record in high school. And then 10 years later, if I heard one of those songs, I needed to wash out my tears by listening to Dead Kennedys. And this was for historical reasons. It wasn't only that I was being difficult. Things happen historically. Sometimes that make it necessary to play in other ways. Historically and personally.
To me, it sounds like it can be when you start making music.
Yeah.
When you're alive. All the things you can get into the way we want to. Mm-hmm. With time, day, when you come to a certain age, when you start music is bigger now, and you just part of it, it can be or it can. At that time, when you play seriously and beautifully, you are in you. It's the same. Only at the time you understand you shouldn't make something different than you. I have now. Because this sound will take you and go to like that guitar person, music person. You do not play. If you allow this, if you play it, stop. Maybe it's not
there. Yeah. I think we all might get good ways of imagining what we're doing that help us play. That's very useful. Anyway, I don't want to get too, it's very easy to get, I do a lot of work also with side musicians. I play on a lot of people's records. And when I play on their records, it's not my record. But, I'm trying to, I don't feel I express myself by making a certain sound. If Tom Waits invited me to play on one of his songs, for example, I don't think, how can I express myself and play like the sound that people think of as me? I listen to the song. And so on this tune, Jockey Full of Bourbon, the lyric was about a certain kind of guy in a certain place. And I thought, okay, we thought of it like a dramatic production, like a play, piece of theater. And I thought, okay, who are the other characters in this play? What would the guitar sound like in this play? See what I mean? That's different than thinking, who am I? I'm not thinking, who am I? I thought, who is that character?
Yes, that's very interesting.
Well, okay, but maybe because I invented that solution to that problem, but I was not thinking, who am I? I was thinking, who is it? Who is he? Anyway, a few more questions, but we should do some play.
Yeah, let's play.
I was listening to Django Reinhardt. I listen to some Cuban music. I listen to punk rock. Okay? I listen to a lot of blues playing. And I've been a blues player. But, you know, again, for historical reasons, like all through the 60s and 70s, there were dozens, hundreds of white blues players, white blues guitarists all expressing themselves. And it was great, fantastic, but at a certain point, like by the time I started playing, by the time I played on Rain Dog in 1984, after 20 years of white blues players again and again and again, like the idea of being a white blues player made me want to throw up. And so, on the other hand, that was the music that moved me the most, was blues-based form. So I continued to do it, but I knew I also had to do it in a certain different way. Because to do it in the same way made me sick. So I started to play with gated reverb. I started to play at a tonal element. I started to do like Ornette Coleman, modulating.
Again, this is what happens when you're driving
know what that means. Because if that is what we do, it's a great set up for
fish.
Yeah, maybe just a
thank you.
yeah, no, that, okay, sorry. I was trying to hear more than one person.
Okay.
That was Jeff Nathan. Okay. I'm going to emphasize, this means noise. Complete noise. Absolute noise. Also, if I stop and then start again, you're free to start any, you don't have to continue saying tempo. Beginning whatever you want.
You mean I have to stop? I have to stop or?
If I go like this and then go like this, you don't have to continue in the same tempo, the same key, same anything. At your discretion. So now we have play, stop, imitate, right? Imitation.
Drone,
and I'm adding noise. Noise, and also I'm going to add one more, which is pitch. Which means, which is, you started to do something very good. Like, pitch means blast, blast, if I want to conduct people first. It means you play a short note when I go like this.
Huh.
So, play, stop, drone, imitate, noise. And really, when I say noise, noise. It doesn't have to be loud, but it has to be noise. And then pitch. Okay. Okay, let's start out though.
Thank you.
that was great, by the way. Really wonderful play.
Yeah.
You know, I should say that with these things, the conduction thing, the point is not to only use these, but to invent your own. You know, invent your own conduction signals that are what you want for the music you want to make. But the key thing with conduction is you have to be very strict. If this means play, it has to mean play always. And you can only use the ones you agree in. Otherwise, it's easy for conduction to become just some crazy person. And the musician doesn't know what the hell to do. So, yeah. Is there anyone who wants to play who happens? What did you play? Can someone else? Wait, you barely got a chance to play.
I
see a guitar back there.
Thank you.
Thank you.